Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
To bow before the Lord in prayer and commit our meeting on to Him today. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that we're found together in Thy presence, under the sound of Thy word, in praise and adoration of Thy great and holy name. We do rejoice that God is great and greatly to be praised. That greatness belonging to Thee is unsearchable. But Lord, we pray that as we approach Thy throne, and as we come in praise and in preaching today, that Thou wilt reveal Thyself unto us. We have the thought in mind. We want to make it the prayer of our heart. Spirit of God, illumine me. We pray that Thou wilt teach us in the things of God, that Thou wilt show that which concerns Christ unto our hearts, and may we rejoice as those disciples did in days of old. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Help us to see the Lord clearly, with passion and with real devotion in our heart to Him tonight. We pray in Jesus' name, and to God's eternal glory. Amen. We're turning in God's Word to the Gospel of John, the chapter 1, commencing to read at the 29th verse, reading down to verse 37. God's Word declares, "The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day after, John stood, and two of his disciples, looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing onto the reading of his precious word. We're turning to another hymn that's entitled, Cleansing for Me. Beginning, Lord, through the blood of the Lamb that was slain, cleansing for me, cleansing for me. From all the guilt of my sins now I claim, cleansing from thee, cleansing from thee.
Thankful for the opportunity to be here and to have the great privilege of preaching even in this opportunity afforded to us. In John's Gospel, chapter 1 and the first 29, we see these words. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John came as a preacher of repentance, yet he told his followers that they were to look for the pardon of their sins to Jesus Christ only and to his death. And therefore it agrees with God's glory to pardon all who depend on the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ and Christ alone. And so the end and object of John's testimony was that Jesus Christ was the promised Messiah. And so he took every opportunity that was afforded him to call on men, to lead men to Jesus Christ. And so what we have presented before us is the Lamb for sinners slain. The Lamb for sinners slain. Never did John the Baptist set forth more clearly or more beautifully of Christ's redemptive ministry than when he spoke the most famous of all his declarations. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. These were the words of John, who was the forerunner to prepare a people prior to the Lord's own ministry. And so John willingly steps aside, and he makes way for the Lord. For John's calling was but a signpost to point men, as is every born-again believer's calling in life, is to be that signpost to point men, women, boys and girls to behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And so firstly, well, we see the Lamb's personality. The Lamb's personality. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him. And so we see the Lord Jesus Christ revealed, identified, the Lamb for sinners revealed by John the Baptist. Not a literal lamb, as in an animal, but a person, one who is both God and man. John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And the first title ascribed is Jesus. John seeth Jesus. And you'll remember back in Matthew's Gospel. If you recall there in Matthew's Gospel chapter 1 in the first 21, what it was said. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And so he goes on further to explain here. The salvation here ascribed to him, to Jesus Christ, for which he is every way fit, being God as well as man, and which he and he alone is the sole author of, which is to be understood of an everlasting salvation. Not a lasting salvation, but an everlasting salvation, which signifies a Saviour. And the Saviour Christ is of God the Father's appointing, of God the Father's providing and sending, and a very suitable one, being a spiritual Saviour and a complete one, both able and willing to save to the uttermost all that believe in him. And there's none other, because there's salvation in no other. He is the Saviour of his people, whom the Father has given him, even of all the elect, whether Jew or Gentile. And therefore we see the Lord Jesus Christ, a person, not a literal lamb, as in an animal, but one who is both God and man. John seeth Jesus. And what a tremendous truth that is. The Lord Jesus Christ coming into this sin-cursed world, taking into union with himself our nature, and in that nature suffering and dying the just for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, because Christ was truly man. Bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, not only of flesh and blood, but of human soul, John saith Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And so here we're presented with the fulfillment of the promise, as spoken by the prophets of old, here coming unto him, unto John, the fulfillment in the person of God's dear Son. And so John was uplifting Christ, preaching Christ, because his message was Christ-centered. It was Christ-centered. And you'll recall what he had said in John chapter 3 in the first 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. And so the purpose of John's ministry was to point men, women, boys and girls to the Lord Jesus Christ. Preach Christ. And friend, there's certainly no other worth preaching but him and him only. And so coming on to him is Jesus, the Lamb of God, God's Lamb, God's Lamb. God was manifest in the flesh. And as Matthew Henry, that great Puritan commentator, he said, He who was truly God for our sakes became man. And he who was Lord of all consented to come into a state of subjection and to take upon him the form of a servant. And so John the Baptist, he cries out as one sent by God and sent with a message. And he cries out to the religious of his day. And he cries out to the irreligious of his day that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. But there's also the Lamb's power. Not only the Lamb's personality, but there's the Lamb's power. And you'll see it in verse 29. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You see, only Christ has the power to take away sins. Only Christ has the power to forgive sins. And this is the main reason. This is the main reason why Christ left the splendors of heaven. For his greatest work and his main work in his coming was redemption. To redeem a people out of the slavery and the guilt of sin by his sacrifice. By his life, by his merit, by his death. Oh, the perfect, spotless, pure Lamb of God. And so his main work in his coming was redemption. Why? Because man's greatest problem is to have his or her sins taken away. And therefore, make no doubt about it. Sin separates. Sin hinders. Sin ruins. Sin defiles. Sin destroys. Sin corrupts. Sin, as the Puritans state it concerning the fall of man, sin put man's eyes out. Sin is exceeding sinful. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Death upon the soul. Death upon the body. And besides death, spiritual and temporal, the wages of sin is eternal death. And therefore, it is sin that damns men to eternal hell forever. Because it's sin that separates us from God. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Hatred against God. And so John's ministry, under God the Holy Ghost, sought to bring men, women, boys and girls to a proper understanding by the third person of God's Trinity, to a realization, to an awareness of their sinfulness, so that they would recognize their great need of a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb for sinners slain, who was and is the only one who can take away sin. Because it was His undertaking. The Father didn't come, and I say it reverently, in the flesh, neither did the Holy Spirit, and I say it reverently, but Christ did. The second person of God's Trinity took upon Himself our nature, and in that nature suffered and died the just for the unjust. And this was His undertaking, because He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And so John the Baptist had called the people to repent of their sins, to turn away from their sins, in order for the remission, the forgiveness of them. And now, here He shows, and by whom that forgiveness was to be expected. And what ground of hope we have that our sins shall be pardoned upon our repentance. It is Christ and Christ alone that takes away the guilt of sin by the merit of His death. He takes away the power of sin by the Spirit of His grace, so it shall not have dominion over us. We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And therefore all that come to God through Him shall be forgiven on His account. What a truth. What a blessing that there's a way back to God out of the slavery and the guilt of sin by the means and merit paid by Christ. Oh, would you not come and behold Him now as your Savior, as your own personal Savior? Oh yes, there is thirdly and finally the Lamb proclaimed. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You see, there's urgency in His words. Not to behold the church. Not to behold the ordinances of the church. Not to behold your own doings. Not to behold something that you have created. Not to behold a program. Not to behold an institution, not to behold a denomination. Behold the Lamb of God. And therefore, friend, here is God's answer. For man's problem, here is God's remedy for sin. Therefore, obey the direction that is given and look to Him for the forgiveness of your sins. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. O Christ is now offered to sinners, and it is left to you to respond, whether you will accept of Him or not. Therefore, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Sinner, dear one, outside of Jesus Christ, come and receive the atonement. Come, the blood-sprinkled way. Come, for He invites you to come. Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let us bow in prayer. Lord, our most gracious, eternal, loving, heavenly Father, we pray that you'll take that which has been of thyself. We pray that all that has been of man will fall to the ground, for it's worthless in thy sight. Apply thy truth savingly to hearts, and bless your own blood-bought children. And looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we ask these things in His blessed name and for His sake. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.